Blog Talk Radio.
Our scripture reading is coming tonight from the book of Matthew, and we're just going to be in the New Testament. Matthew's first book, chapter 7, starting at verse 7, reading through 11. Again, it's Matthew 7, 7, 11. And then we're going to touch a little bit here, and we're going to read about Romans 5, 1 through 5. Romans 5, 1 through 5. As we're reading through our scriptures today, just wanting you to remember and take heed that we're talking about answered prayers in Matthew 7, 7, 11. And then in Romans, we'll look into the Word to teach us a little bit about hope for our changing world in 5, 1 and 5. And then we're going to go through our last scripture for today, which is just one scripture reading, and it will be from Mark 11, 24 and 25, and that's just to teach us a little bit about effective prayer. Amen? So shall we start as promised in Matthew 7, 7, 11, and it reads, "Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives. He who seeks, finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened." Verse 9 says, "Which of you, if his son asks for bread, would give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, would give him a snake?" 11 says, "Then if you, my sisters and brothers, if you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you." So this sums up the law and the prophets. Amen? Matthew 7, 7, 11. Let's move right on over now. Let's go to the right, to the right, to the right. Let's move over and let's go into Romans 5, and we're going to do 1 through 5, okay? Romans 5, 1 through 5, and it reads, "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our suffering, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, and that perseverance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us." Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Because he has given us. Let's go back to the left. Just back it up just a little bit. And as we look into, see what Mark had to say about effective prayer. So Mark 24, they will just look, well, Mark 11, 24 and 25. And we'll go ahead with our prayer and just get right into the word of all of this. Just excited. Hallelujah. The word is so good. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Through his word, through his thoughts, how he thinks about things. What is it that he's looking at to show you in your everyday situation and living? Here's the word. We've got to dive into it and seek it, and we'll find those answers. So I get excited about finding out what the Lord has to say. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Again, Matthew, Mark 11, 24 through 25, and it reads, "Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against another, forgive him so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins." Forgive him. Effectively praying. Pray when you know that you have forgiven your sister or brother for whatever that ought was that made it happen. Even though you may not understand it, even though you still may be hurting, just forgive and go on. forgive and move on. And that means that even though that, you know, that you may have to run into them every day, you're just going to have to find a way in your heart to just rely upon the word. That's what I do. I just keep repeating the word. Overtake my spirit, Jesus. Overtake my heart with your spirit and don't let my flesh try to rule anything that I may say or do or any expressions that I may give. Forget about how I feel. My emotions, we have got too caught up, even in the church today, of how we feel. We're such a feeling thing. Well, I didn't feel right when the pastor said that. I didn't feel right when she said this or she ignored me. Our emotions are not that important. We've got to rely on the word. And it tells us that for us to have answered prayers, that we need to do what the word says. And it says we shall ask. We've got to ask for more strength. We've got to ask for more patience. And yeah, you're going to have to go through some tests to get the patience. You're going to have to go through some tests to get that endurance. But ask that it will be given it to you. You've got to ask for more leadership qualities. You've got to ask to be stronger in the midst of your weaknesses. You've got to ask. You've got to start seeking him. If you seek him by seeking his word, seeking his face, calling him, if you seek him, you will find him. Your relationship with Christ is what you want it to be right now. If you want a deeper relationship with God, all you've got to do is take out time. Seek him. Knock, and the door will be open to you. Get out there and take hold of your opportunities in life. Whatever your dreams are, get out there and start working on it. Start chipping down on that credit, all of your bad creditors. Chipping down on the amount owed. Make some agreements with them. Amen? Those bad habits, start every day making a chart. I used to do 3 times, now I get a once a day. Do something. Make a movement in your life. Because the word tells us that for everyone who asks, receive it. And he who seeks will find him. And then those who knock, it says the doors will be open to us. Amen? Amen. And then it also comes to the whole chart of the scripture. Well, how much more if we are born into sin? If we, regardless if we have been born again and have received salvation, do you know that we still sin? We have to repent of our sins, but we still sin. And if we are sinners, which is evil, if we are sinners and we know how to provide for our loved ones, our sons, our daughters, how much more would he who knows no sin would do for his daughters, his sons, us? We are the believers. We are children of God. And he wants to do favor in our life. He wants to work his goodness in our life. He wants to work his goodness through us so that the ones who don't believe can see his goodness through us. So we should be learning how to pray, to be in the right pathway to receive his prayers, answered prayers. We should be learning how to receive answered prayers, effective prayers. You see, if different things come out in you in the world, if you're serving the world, if you're out there in the world, you learn how to do that new dance to God. You speak and you find. You pull up YouTube. You do whatever you need to do. You want to learn the lyrics to this new song. You want to learn what it is that's going on out here in the world, because that's where you consider yourself at. But when we as believers are standing, it does us no good at all. The world is not jealous of you. It doesn't put a bad taste in your mouth at all that you're walking around in your Bible, because if you're not living it, you're just turning them on. You can hold your mouth and curse out the world. You're not helping anyone, not even yourself. We've really got to get serious. And we're in 2014 with new beginnings and new fresh ideas. And God is saying, I'm just going over to some of the things that I've been trying to pound into your spirit for years and years and years. Is this your day that you're getting? I have so much more for you in your storehouse, just waiting for you. So who will get it? You know, we have to have hope for this changing world. Amen? Glory, Father, we just thank you, Jesus, for all of the help, the hope, the understanding, the peace, the joy that you're just spreading over us right now, dear Father. All of the comfort, dear Father. All of the lifting up the bowed down heads. And thank you for giving them jobs and protecting jobs. And just watching over all of the little ones, dear Father, that may be in bad situations. I feel you're just comfort over them. And I thank you for that, Jesus. We ask that you forgive us for our sin. We thank you, Jesus, because we know the joy of the Lord is our strength. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for turning our junk into our joy, turning our trash into treasures. And may we decrease as we invite you to come and just indwell inside of us. In the mighty name of Jesus, we thank you. Amen. Amen. You know, this is rapid in the world we live in right now. There are rapid changes in our world. And the rapid changes in our world can give us a sense of uncertainty at times, maybe even a sense of unease. But we can be thrown off balance by the sufferings that we see around us. It can throw us off balance. It can also be the evolving technology that outpaces our ability to absorb it. It can throw us off balance. I mean, technology is just moving forward each and every day. And sometimes you can feel like you're getting left behind. You can feel like, you know, this is just a little bit too much. And all the things that's been going on around us, the suffering and here and there. And it used to be a time, and we were thinking back about it the other day, that growing up and you would hear a lot of things that were going on overseas. And it almost felt like a different world, a different place that those things was happening at. Even coming down to hijacking a plane, which you don't hear a lot about now, but it was an era where it was just something that you heard about a lot that was going on overseas. And again, it was not something that I thought about so much. Even though we had men all on the battlefields over there fighting, for me, I didn't think about those things as something right here, right now, that was happening. But those things have definitely changed. The battleground is right here. There's a lot of things that we never thought of here in these United States of America would happen that we could tolerate, that we would even put up with. But then now, in these United States of America right now, state after state after state is fighting to ban what we know as the biblical sense of marriage. State after state is more and more, is coming more against what the Word says about marriage. I'm not talking about against any person, but I'm talking about the Word. We're thinking about the Word of God, God's thoughts on the situation. And, you know, even our president, we have to continue to pray. That's why it doesn't do us any good to condemn him. Let's pray for him. Let's pray with him for the decisions to be made. We don't know what we would do in situations. It's easy for us to sit back and look and think, but we all fall short. But he's decided that, you know, okay, I'm not going to fight anymore on that bill. There's so many against that. I got other things, bigger things right now, and the time is running out, that I need to start working on and pushing those things even harder. Let's continue to pray. In this world, we can just be so on balance by all of these different things. And again, from technology to suffering to you know, just abundance of loss all around us, to people just not caring about each other anymore. You know, sometimes what seems worthwhile today has less value tomorrow. At one time, it was a great thing. It seemed worthwhile for a man to open the door for a lady. It's left by you in that today. They will walk right in front of you, open the door, and just flop it. See, it seemed like it was a very important, worthwhile thing to do for a man to make sure that he, if he claimed to be the head of that household, that he worked and provided for that family. Not to say that the wife didn't work, because if she was staying at home, she definitely was working. But not to say that she was, it wasn't a two-parent household income. But right now, it just seems less valuable for the man to have a job. There's so many situations right now that I hear about that, no, the wife is the breadwinner, and the husband is just kind of in between jobs, or he just didn't like that job. Something wasn't right about that job. So he's just decided to stay home for a little bit, and he's going to work on some of the plans that he's been thinking about. You know, he hasn't done anything yet in the last 6 months, but, you know, he does pick up the kids and take them over to his mom's house after school, so that's a good thing. You see how we've moved from? You see how the values are changing? So what at one time seemed worthwhile, today is less valuable for our tomorrow's world. And as problems mount, we can become discouraged and we can lose heart. So basing all our hopes on man's ability to solve problems or, you know, just to modify a situation is not the answer. We can achieve only temporary peace when we alter our own circumstances. It's only temporary relief. A temporary peace, we get a temporary high, a temporary joy. But that's when we try to alter our own situation, or we try to adjust our outward behavior. But the root problem is what we need to solve. See, the root problem is our culture is spiritually, namely, I mean, man has a sin nature, right? We have a sin nature that is at enemies with God. That sin nature fighting against the Holy Spirit. Sin prompts us to look out for ourselves. Sin prompts us to pursue what we want. You know what it is? You know what it feels like. Sin prompts you to pass by others and just look out for yourself. Get you together. As long as you got, then you go right by everybody else to show them what you got. As long as you got, you go dress up in your frock and get, take your Bible and your hat and you walk past just to show them what you got. You got to leave the tags laying around so everybody can see what you were able to get. That's what sin nature does. It prompts us to look out for ourselves. It prompts us to pursue what we want instead of give what someone else needs. Neither our intellect nor our talents could have changed our sinful state. It's nothing about our intellect. Neither one of those can even bring us peace with God. Some of the smartest people still don't have peace with God. Some of the most talented people still don't have peace with God. Hallelujah. And even the talented people, we all have talents. Even the smart people, we all have something we're smart at. But it cannot stop us from sinning. It can't break our sinful nature. You know, however, those who trust Jesus as Savior, they will receive a new nature. And we'll reconcile to the Lord. Do we still sin? Yes. But he waits on our heart, and we try to be better at our sins today than we were yesterday. And we don't want to just keep on sinning. We want to move towards a different thing. We want to accomplish and achieve something. We want to walk more by the examples that Jesus has left for us. That's what we should be doing. That's what should be in our hearts. That should be our desires. Amen? That should be our desires because we have received a new nature. And as his adopted children, he says we're part of the family. Not only are we at peace with him, but We're also then given the power to live in harmony with one another. The power to forgive, the power to overlook some of the things that the people in the world can't overlook. The power to keep our joy even in the midst of our sorrows. The power to go into the nursing homes and just fill your heart up and just of Jesus' Spirit and just pour it out on each and every one in there. Hallelujah. What have you never met him before? The power to love on someone. The power to forget about your wants and help someone's need and get joy from doing it. No complaining, total joy from doing it. With a cheerful heart. That's the power that you should be having. And if you're still not there yet, it's okay. Let's just pray and learn how to get you there. Because God, that's what his intentions are, to give you joy, to give you peace. No matter how much life changes around us, we can have hope. But we're anchored in a firm foundation that will never be shaken. Never be shaken. I don't care what it is and how long it's been. Our foundation will never be shaken. Things can change all around us, but it can't shake our foundation. Even if you can't keep up with it, don't worry about it. God will send you away who he needs to be there. He can't. It will not shake our foundation. We have a true foundation, Isaiah tells us about. And then believers' hopes rest in the triune God. You got the Father, the triune God, the Son, the triune God, and the Holy Spirit. I know the Father knows each of us by name. He's a personal God. He knows you by name. I know that he's your keeper. Our Savior keeps every divine promise. 2 Corinthians tells us. Every divine promise. And the Holy Spirit assures us that we are secure in Christ, both in this life and in the life to come. This was our answered prayers. You know, in his word, in God's word, our Father, he commands us to pray continuously. And he promises us that when we ask, we will receive. Yet how often does silence seem to be the answer to our prayers required? You ever pray and you just don't feel like you're hearing anything? It's just silence. You know, the Lord wouldn't tell us to pray if he was not going to respond. In fact, he points out that any father who loves his children gives them what they need and what is good. And he, as our Heavenly Father, will provide so much more, so much more. But if we want God to respond, we must start to meet some important conditions. And I just listed three for you here tonight. If you really want to hear from God, you want to break the silence when you're praying and you feel like you're just praying and you're not seeing anything, you're not hearing anything. Well, first, we must have a right relationship with Jesus Christ. We really must have a right relationship with Jesus Christ. And to start that, we have to truly trust him as our Savior. Trust him as our Savior. Someone recently told me today, something that God asked me to extend to them. And the person told me, thank you so much. They said, I just want to thank God because I was trusting him as my Savior. I was trusting that he was going to make and provide this for me. That I was trusting. I didn't know how. I didn't know from whom, which way it was coming from, the north, east, south, or the west, but I just knew that he would be the provider of my needs as always. So thank you for being obedient to the Lord, because he knew exactly what I needed, and he was him. So first, we must have a right relationship with Jesus Christ by trusting him, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, trusting him as our Savior. You know, when some people choose to live in ungodliness, let's just be real about it. live an ungodly life, even after salvation. Even after salvation. You know, the scriptures say that if there are iniquities in my heart, it says the Lord will not hear me. Now that's something that you need to take heed of. Psalm 66, 18, it said, if I regard iniquities in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Could that be the reason why you're here in silence? You see, this doesn't mean that we can never make a mistake. No, no, no. It doesn't. It doesn't mean that at all. Because God understands our frailty. He understands that we're frail. But we must repent of all known sin. And we must avoid continuing in that sin. Amen. If I regard iniquities in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. And then second, we must make right requests. You know, scriptures remind us to act according to God's will. Sometimes in the midst of our praying or hoping, and we tend to look at, again, what the sin nature puts before. Remember? Just you're for no more. You know? Remember that sin will make you just look at you. That sin will prompt you to look out for yourself and pursue what you want. So our requests come out kind of selfish. Our requests come out about us and what we want. And then we'll look at those wants for so long. And it can be envy that's pushing us towards this want. It can be jealousy that's pushing us towards this want. And before you know it, in our minds, that want has turned into a need. And so now we're praying like we need it. God, we need this. Oh, I need it. Tell me if I just had her. If I just had his money. Or if I just had his job. If I just had his house, her house. If I just had that Lexus that he has, if I just had this, and I just had that, if I just had that mindset, oh, if I just had the peace that he had, the joy that he had, we must make the right request. That means that we can share our hopes and our desires while submitting to whatever he deems best. So we, again, can share our hopes and our desires, but we're going to be diligently happy where we're at. We're going to submit ourselves to whoever we're under. Instead of trying to get over, we're going to be happy being under, working under leadership. We're giving them, we're praying in our hopes and our desires, but we're content. We're still looking forward, we're checking off our goals. Hey, but we're not walking around with a mean heart. Yeah, you just wait. I'm praying for the day that I become your boss instead of you, man. I'm praying for the day I move up out of here. I'm praying for the day that, you know. You know, over time, certain yearnings may lose appeal or even give us a check in our spirit. But we're just yearning for something else that may not be in our best interest. And then thirdly, we should pray specifically and with confidence. You know, when making requests aligned with God's will, we can be sure he'll answer if it's a part of his will. He will answer. See, our Heavenly Father tells his children to pray, and he assures that he will respond. And as you present your request, ask him to show you if anything is getting in the way of his answer. Talk to him. Just ask him, is there anything getting in the way of you answering me? You know, John 14:14 reads, and it says, if you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. You know, people sometimes interpret this to mean that any request, any with the words, in Jesus' name, amen, will automatically be fulfilled. You know?
Yeah, based on our entire concept of prayer on one isolated verse, I mean, it can lead to a screwed prescription, perspective of things. It is also important to consider that our fellowship with God, you know, for the Lord to hear and answer prayers, we must first be saved from our sin through the blood of Jesus. And then once we've trusted Christ as our Savior we spoke about, God will hear only when we walk in righteousness before Him. You know, as we saw in the earlier broadcasts, He understands our weaknesses, and He doesn't expect perfection. But if we knowingly continue in sin, and we fail to repent, He will not listen. Even if you end your prayer in Jesus' name, amen. Because you're basing it on John 14:14, it says, if you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. So you're living unrighteous. You have no relationship. You're not trusting Him. You're not repenting of your sin, and you're constantly living in that sin. But you're praying and just ending it with, in Jesus' name, amen. He doesn't hear those prayers. So now at least you know the answer and why. So now at least you know what to do to change it. Now it's just up to you. What are you going to do? You got to strengthen your fellowship with God. You know, our request. Some people think of the word in Jesus' name as a magic charm, you know? But nothing can force the Lord's hand. Nothing can force the Lord's hand. So this thing did originate from a good motive, though. The desire to request only what is consistent with Jesus' character. So we should pray in faith, believing that God is able, believing that God will do whatever is in His will. We should ask God, what is your will for my life? And we should readily submit our desires to Him. And then our motives. You know, the Lord won't say yes to prayers that were heard of or derailed His purpose in our life. He loves us too much to just set us up like that, to set us out like that. Because then you're going to be coming back with prayers that are really, really deep. Because He's not going to set you out like that, that would hurt you. He's not going to put you in a situation that would close off you from Him or His purpose for you. And when we bring supplications before Him, we need to check our motives. Is our goal to glorify God and let others see Him in us? Is that your goal when you bring in this prayer request? When you bring in your supplications before Him? Is it to glorify God and let others see God in you, through you? Or is our motive selfish, as we spoke about how the sin will prompt us to think? Is our motive greedy, as we talked about, so the sin will prompt you to do? Is our motive impure, as we talked about, what the sinful life and living, non-repenting sinful life will prompt you to do? Now, you may be in the pulpit, in the choir, you may be on the usher board, you may be sitting on the pew. You may be on the deacon board, you may be standing on the outside doing security, you may be in the club, or you may be at the ball game. But any of you, including myself, if our motives is selfish, if our motives is greedy or impure, God doesn't hear our prayer. That's not an effective prayer. You see, our Heavenly Father tells us to pray, and He will answer what our hearts are clean. Yes. When our hearts are clean. Hallelujah. When our hearts are clean. Is your heart clean? What does your heart look like? What does your heart look like? You may be going through all kinds of different things right now. You're not even for sure what it is that your heart looks like. You may think that you know that you've lived in sin so long with that spouse or that person that you're considering your spouse. that the law may say, well, you're carnal and married. But it's still in sin. It still doesn't change God's perspective of it. You may have been in that sin so long that you're trying to forget about that it is a sin. But you can't force God's hand. It's still a sin. Amen? It's still what it is what it is. Be forward with yourself. Be honest with yourself. It is what it is. Do something about it. You still have a choice to do something about it. Amen, amen. It's just so many, many more just looking at the world. And that's why we can't tell somebody else, our neighbors, you know, how to do anything because we're so messed up in our own sin and we don't want to repent of our own sin. So we don't say anything to them if they don't say anything to us. You don't say anything about me living in sin, I won't say anything about your sin. Somebody's got to take a stand. Somebody's got to be the one to stand up and say, we all got to get right. That's what I come to tell you tonight. We all have to get right, people. We all have to get right. The time is winding up. Did you know somebody who died today? I bet you can, I guarantee that each and every one of us can open up a newspaper today, and whether you knew them or not, you will see someone who died today. You turn on the, go on the internet, you'll see somebody who died today. It could be us tonight. Our name is waiting on a cemetery headstone. It's already waiting. We just don't know when it's going to be. We have a resting place, each and every one of us. We have nothing that can stop it. We're all going to be resting in some cemetery, in some crypt. We're all going to be resting somewhere. It's too late then. It's eternity. Where are you going to spend it at? You said, well, this world will be over and it'll just be over. What if you're wrong? I dare you to read the word. I dare you to pray. Get the answers. Stop lying to yourself. You're more intelligent than that. Stop walking around that you're talking about you don't believe in nothing. You're smarter than that. Get real. Get your life right. Leave some example for yourself. What about the example of Jesus Christ? And you're finding no fault. You know, do you even know God? This year, why not make a resolution that carries a 100% guarantee of success? You've been trying to climb the ladder. Put the ladder down. Let's start right here first. Make a resolution that carries a 100% guarantee of success. Now is the time to trust Jesus as your personal Savior and receive the indwelling presence of His Spirit. You can become a new creature in Christ. You know, since He died on the cross for all your sins, you have full forgiveness and can begin to live your life in newness of life. You can use the following prayer. You can use your own words. I invite you to come and repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I believe You are truly the Son of God, and I confess that I have sinned against You and in my thoughts, in my words, and in my deeds. Please forgive all my wrongdoing and let me live in relationship with You from now on. I receive You as my personal Savior, accepting on my behalf the work You accomplished once and for all on the cross. I thank You for saving me and help me to live a life that is pleasing to You. Amen. That's all. It's just that simple. If you just pray that prayer, you are a new creature in Christ. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are new. You know, it's important for you to reach out and tell somebody. Let someone know of your decision to follow Christ. You can reach me here, your host, Minister Vaughn Dillon. I broadcast live out of San Antonio, Texas. But I know Contact International. And you can contact me at walkwithmegod@aol.com. You can leave a message to Blog Talk Radio. I'll be more than happy to reach out to you, give you any kind of biblical information or literature that you would need to start sharing your Christian walk. Now, until we meet again, remember you are a new creature in Christ. You have a clean slate with God starting right now. So I love you, but God loves you more. You do your best to be the best you. I pray for you. You pray for me. Until the next broadcast. Good night. Happy birthday to Tom Clemens.